Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The text is Acts 10:28. Peter said, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." I think God's love always challenges us to think outside the box. In fact, I think the more we're infected by the love of God, the broader our vision becomes, and the more clearly we see our Lord's creation and all of his people. There's a magnificent but stirring story that comes out of the Yiddish tradition. It tells us that Abraham and his wife Sarah are visited by a wandering stranger, and in good Mideastern tradition, they invite him in, lay out a great feast for him, make him as comfortable as possible, and then at appropriate time, Abraham says, "And now it is appropriate for us to give thanks to the Almighty God of heaven and earth for this wondrous bounty he has placed before us." But the stranger has a strange smile on his face, a confused smile, if you will, reaches into his pocket, pulls out a crudely carved wooden idol and said, "But why should I thank your God? I have my own." At which point Abraham is furious at both the blasphemy and the idolatry of this man, that he grabs him by the nape of the neck and throws him out of the tent. And the poor old man brushes the dust off of him and makes his way farther down the road. But then a voice from heaven comes to the patriarch, "Abraham, Abraham, for 70 years I have cared for that old man. I have fed him and clothed him and sheltered him, even though to this day he does not know the source of that grace. The least you could do is give him one day of hospitality." I think the love of God challenges us always to think outside the box. And one of the most magnificent accounts in all of Scripture that emphasizes that point is in Acts chapter 10. I like that story, having spent almost 30 years as an army chaplain, because it's a story about a soldier. It's a story about a Roman soldier named Cornelius, assigned to a unit called the Italian Regiment. And the unique thing about Cornelius is that we hear he's a very devout man. He spends a lot of time in prayer, does a lot of charitable works. But if you will, my friends, he's outside the box. To put it in our terms, he's not in altar and pulpit fellowship with the Jewish Christians of the day. He does not pray in the name of Jesus because he has not heard of Jesus Christ. And yet God's love and grace hears him. And he sends an emissary from heaven to Cornelius. And that emissary does not tell him about Christ. The emissary tells Cornelius he is to call one to minister to him. He is to call someone, a sinful human being, to come and tell him the news he needs to hear. God's love always reaches outside the box. There are 1.41 million young men and women in the armed forces of the United States today. And surprisingly, the third largest group of those that declare a religious preference are Lutheran. Almost 45,000 indicate Lutheran is their faith. But the most shocking number is, and a shocking number even to the Pentagon today, is that nearly one-fourth of those 1.41 million, almost 300,000, declare no religious preference whatsoever. I think God's love still stirs within people to reach outside the box to bring the gospel of Christ to people like that. The story continues that after Cornelius is visited by the angel, that Peter, who happens to be living with a man named Simon, a tanner, a leather worker in a neighboring village. It's about noontime, and Peter, like all preachers, is hungry. But dinner isn't ready yet, so he goes up on the roof of the house and in the noonday sort of falls asleep in a nap, and during that time has a vision from God. Strange sort of vision comes to a hungry man. A big sheet, as it were, is lowered down from heaven, and on that sheet are all kinds of animals and insects and the like that are forbidden for Jewish people to consume. And the voice from God says, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." And Peter is repulsed by the idea. "Oh no," he says, "nothing impure will ever pass my lips." "Do not call anything impure," says God, "that I have made clean." Peter has that vision three times and is finally wakened from his disturbing sleep, as it were, by a commotion down at the front door, and he goes down to see what's happening, and there stands a Roman soldier and some other men. They've been sent by Cornelius. And they tell the whole story and ask Peter if he will come with them. And obviously he feels compelled to go there. And it seems to me that one of the most miraculous things recorded in Scripture, aside from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is in the 25th verse of the 10th chapter of Acts, which simply begins with a short phrase, "And as Peter entered the house." We have no conception of what that meant. He could very well have used the words of Neil Armstrong in a little different way. "That's one small step for a Jewish Christian, one giant leap for Christendom." Because, as Peter said to the Roman officer, "You're well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." But there he was, and Cornelius told his story. And then Peter told Christ's story. Very simple terms, a magnificent little homily in which he told about the Son of God suffering and dying for people, and through whom by faith we might have the forgiveness of sins. And then, to the great shock of Peter, they're converted. The Holy Spirit always does surprising things. Cornelius, a number of members of his family, a number of soldiers around are converted. And Peter said, "Is there any reason I shouldn't baptize these people?" And he does so. God's word stirs within Peter, even as he stirred within so many LCMS pastors over the years since the days of the Civil War. It says, "Reach out, reach outside the box and touch these precious children of God that so often we forget." Right here in our midst, men like Roger Patelko, or Bill Weinrich, or Dan Gard, so many that have donned the uniform to bring the gospel of Christ to others. There was a time within our church, not too many years ago, when at least 100 to 110 of our LCMS pastors were serving on active duty as chaplains, and almost 200 serving in the reserve and National Guard. Today, we only have 81 on active duty and only about 130 in the Reserve and National Guard. I think God's word still stirs within us to reach outside the box with the gospel of Christ, but it won't be without criticism, even as it wasn't for Peter. All you have to do is read the first two verses of the next chapter. As soon as Peter got back to Jerusalem, "Do we understand that you actually went in the home of a Gentile? Do we understand that you actually ate with them?" I don't know how many times in my ministry, and every chaplain that served in the armed forces has been asked by a fellow pastor, "So, when do you plan to come back to the ministry?" There's something wrong with this thinking. For God's word stirs within us to reach outside the box. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of conducting the wedding for my son, who happens to be an Air Force captain. And he and his young bride, like many young bridal couples, chose to be read at their wedding Paul's treatise on love, 1 Corinthians 13. It's a wonderful thing, of course, to hear at weddings. Love is patient and kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, is not proud, is not rude, keeps no record of wrongs, is always trusts, always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. And like I said, every married couple sitting out in the congregation says, oh yeah. It's not the love I know. Because Paul isn't talking about a human love. He's talking about agape. He's talking about God's love. And in this context, he's talking about gifts that God gives. And he says God gives gifts to all of his people, and some he calls to be pastors and apostles and prophets and some teachers, and some he gives the gift of healing and some administration and some a gift of faith and some a gift of hope. But the greatest gift God can give you is his love, which will stir within you to make you reach outside the box. My friends, for all the learning you receive in this once wonderful institution, pray that God would give you that gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.